Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today's Friday, December 20th, and we're back. We love Fridays.
We do.
I just have to remind people, you know, because I forget that I like it. What happens? Oh, see, your audio was on.
Every time.
It happens almost every time,
yeah,
right?
Every time. It's so funny.
We do have a guest in the studio. She'll be joining us in just a moment. And what you were listening to is our stream on Facebook, so you can go to LA Talk Radio's page on Facebook. I have to get it right. And then you'll see us there in video, in full color. And you'll see we have a special guest, a smart guest from my research, and we love smart people
we
on the show.
We do like smart people. There's so too
we're
going to
have a lot of fun.
Too many. Sometimes yeah. I'm one of them.
Right. So, so Star Wars started, and our guest said she saw it, so we'll ask her about it. And some people give it like mixed reviews, you know. So,
because
you know, you got all the geeks, you know, and they're like, you know, it's got to be a certain way, and
yeah, they like it really by the book,
right?
You know,
and apparently, I was reading that Disney's trying to please everybody, you know,
of course.
And plus, you got to remember the younger generation, they don't, you know, I mean, they see the movies, the old ones. But they don't relate to them as much, you know?
No, I mean, all the old school CGI and stuff like that has got to seem so amateur to them.
Right, and the characters too, you know?
Yeah,
I mean,
true.
For them, Darth Vader is not who it was to us, you know?
Right.
Kind of
right.
a thing, you know?
They're probably like, what is this outdated BS that I'm watching right now?
Right, exactly.
You know, and it's nostalgia to us.
Yeah, I know, but what can you say, you know? But they're saying it should be pretty good, so we'll see. Also, I just see here a couple of Carnival cruise ships just collided in Mexico. How would you like that? Be on a big ship and
oh my gosh, really?
Collide with another big ship.
Was anyone hurt?
I don't know. I haven't really read it. It's just a it's a
headline. Yeah.
But no, I'm sure if somebody died, they would have put it in the headline too.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
I know.
That's so insane. Did they just not
I don't know.
See? Was it two ships or
two ships, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, two Carnival.
I was picturing like three ships. I'm like, that's
too much, right?
Yeah, like
very
captains
unlikely.
Were drinking or something, like not paying attention. It's all texting each other.
I know. So the holidays are coming up. They said it's going to rain next week too, so it'll be fun. Won't snow, but it actually they say it'll snow on higher elevation, so
yeah,
maybe it's a good excuse to go somewhere.
I always look forward to the holidays being over just because even for just the fact that
and you're not with the family this year.
It's true. I'm going to be with my West Coast family though, so that's good. Yeah, but I don't know. Like, I just went to try and get Starbucks before I got here, and I was driving around the Starbucks parking lot for 15 minutes, and there wasn't a single spot.
Really?
I was like, I'm just going to go.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go at this point.
Yeah, 15 minutes is a long time to wait.
Yeah, I'm like...
Yeah, you give me 2 minutes, I would have given up already.
I know. I really, really
I wanted
my double
espresso. I can't stand when there's a lot of people, you know? It's too much.
I know.
So, no big plans for the weekend on my end. What about you? Any
just
big
working.
Plans? Yeah. Oh, you're going to be working this
Yeah, I'm going to be working on production for the film, and hopefully I'll get Sunday off. Or maybe tomorrow would be nice. I'd love to sleep in.
Yeah, right.
Just for a second.
Get a couple days next week.
Yeah. I did catch up on sleep last night, though. I went to bed at 8:30. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, 8:30, woke up at like 7.
8:30 is early.
I know, I was really, really tired. I only had like 3 or 4 hours the night before. So.
Yeah, good for you. So you feel a lot fresher now?
A little bit. I feel like I still need a day to just lay down.
Right. It's hard to get up when it's really cold, right?
Yes.
I know.
I know. I know.
Oh, well.
And my bed's so comfy, so.
Yeah, like, I know. Under the blanket.
Yeah, totally. I'm always like hiking my blanket up in certain ways because there's a piece of like my shade that doesn't block the sun. So there's like one strip of light that comes through.
Right.
So every time I turn over, because sometimes you just have to turn over. You're like, I just can't lay that direction any longer. Right. So I always have to like hike my blanket up in a way that like blocks the light. And then I just like hide behind it. Like 10 more minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm one of those weirdos though that has like 5 alarm clocks that go off in the morning.
Uh-huh.
Like I have one that goes off at like 6:45, 6:51, 6:57, 7:03.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm one of those.
So you don't even bother with the snooze? You just go with different alarms?
Yeah. Okay. I need the backup. I mean, I hit snooze on all of them too. So it's like 5 and then I have 5 snooze alarms that also go off.
Oh, God, you're torturing yourself. You got to stop that.
I know. My roommate's like, I heard your alarms this morning. I'm like, I'm sorry. It has to be this way.
I know. I used to be able to just jump out of bed, but now I need a few snoozes.
Yeah. I feel like before like 18, 19, I could just jump out of bed, and now I'm just tired. Life's taking its toll.
Yeah, I know. We're getting older, aren't we?
Yeah.
All right. True. Well, we're going to bring on our guest right now. We're joined by Kate Wiswell. Welcome to the show, Kate.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Welcome.
Of course. And she made it here early, which we always appreciate.
And she came bearing gifts, too.
Yeah. She brought gifts. She brought us her book. And we're going to talk about that. It's called Full Frontal Nerdity, Lessons in Loving and Living with Your Brain. So that you're speaking my language there.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
So, and we'll talk about the book in length and stuff. Just we want to know a little bit about you and everything. So, are you an LA native?
I am not. I am originally from New Hampshire.
Oh wow! Although, not a lot of people are from there.
Mm. That is true.
Yeah,
very small state. And I was born in the northern tip of New Hampshire, or as I tell people here, almost Canada, because it's easier for people to relate that way. And then I've been an East Coaster. I was an East Coaster until 3 years after college. And then I moved to L.A.
Oh, okay. Did you move somewhere else from New Hampshire or you just stayed there till college?
No. Well, we moved south in New Hampshire. So I grew up in Concord, the capital of New Hampshire.
Oh,
I was there all through school. And then I went to college. I went to Massachusetts for college. And then I went to Connecticut for work after college. Just kept moving south.
Wow. Sounds good. Now, New Hampshire, what's it like living there? It's pretty cold, right?
It is. Winter, well, fall is my favorite month, but winter is my second favorite. It's cold. It's cold. Yeah. You learn, I laugh with people in other parts of the country who are, you know, think, oh, it's snowing. It must be freezing. And I was like, oh, no. Because when it's snowing, it means it's warm enough to snow.
I say that and no one believes me.
Right.
Or I'm like, really? That doesn't make any sense. I'm like, yeah, it's warmer when it snows. It's the 11 degrees with the 6-degree wind chill that is the killer.
Right. And you don't miss school because of snow days. You miss school because it's so cold the diesel buses won't start.
Oh, I
see.
Yeah,
that's
true.
Right.
School gets canceled. Right.
I think it gets warmer when it rains, too. They call it latent heat or something, don't they? You would know, right? I mean, when when vapor turns into, it needs heat or release heat to become water or ice.
Right.
So that's what they call latent heat.
Yeah. Well, and
I remember my science.
Good job.
Yes, good job. Exactly.
You get a
yeah.
gold star.
And what you don't realize until you move somewhere like Los Angeles is how much humidity plays a part in retaining some of the warmth of the air. Because cold, when the temperature drops here, to me, it's cold. It feels colder. Like 50 degrees here.
Because it's dry, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because it's dry.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah. I know. Everyone's laughing at
me
back home.
Yeah, we don't think about that.
Last night I was on the phone with my friend and I'm like, it's so cold here. And he is like, what is it? I looked at the temperature thing on my gauge on my car and I was like, 52. And he's like, it's 22 here.
Oh, God.
I'm like, yeah, but it's so cold.
There's a reason they call it a blanket of snow.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
It's warm.
Yeah.
That's nice true. And toasty snow.
Nice and toasty
Well, I'm
snow.
Hoping to go get and see some over the weekend, so we'll see. They said Sunday is going to happen. Something's going to happen. As usually, as you notice, nothing ever happens here with the weather.
I know.
It's the same every day.
It'll snow in Los Angeles for the first time ever while I'm visiting my parents in Florida. That's what's
going to
happen.
Oh, miss that magical moment.
Yeah.
So how many years have you been here?
I just had my 17-year anniversary.
Wow. Oh, okay. So you're pretty much a native now.
I do believe I've lived here longer than any one particular place. Yeah. Yeah. New Hampshire, I lived in longer, but I lived in two different parts. So
yeah.
I see.
Yeah. Awesome.
And so then you went to college. Where did you go?
I went to Harvard.
You went to Harvard? Mm-hmm. Oh, well, excuse me. I told you we're joined by someone smart.
There's no good way to say that.
Right.
I know. I love that you were like, yeah, I went to school in Boston.
Yeah.
But then you were like, no, I don't want to be that person.
Yeah. So many people are like, I went to Harvard. Yeah. I'm like, suddenly you have a slightly British accent when you say that.
So you have to hope they ask you you can say
it. I got to the point where I decided how a person reacts to that statement is on them. So I'm just going to say it just like I would say I went to any college.
Right. Exactly.
Totally.
If I went to UNH, I'd say I went to UNH. If I went to Harvard, I'm going to say I went to Harvard.
There you go.
So student in high school and everything.
Yeah, I was a bit of a nerd. Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What does a nerd mean to you? Like studying a lot?
Good question.
Yeah, that is a good question. Yeah. I mean, I definitely can dive into that debate of like, what is a geek versus a nerd versus a dork? And there is like kind of an overlap in there, but they are different. But to me, a nerd.
I'm so here for that.
Nerd is more about kind of what people might associate with book smarts.
Like academic.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Right. Even if you don't have to study all that hard, you are into studying. Like you want to. Yeah. Right. It's more of an academic pursuit kind of. Whereas being a geek is equally intense and deep. Like people get really into the research and deep dive, but it's more of a cultural obsession, more of a academic obsession.
Yeah. Would geek have to do more with technology, like we tend to think about computer geeks and things?
You could be
like
a video game.
Although I would say computers is probably where nerd and geek overlaps the most.
Really?
Yeah.
So they both like computers.
You gotta be pretty smart to be into computers too.
Yeah. Right,
like,
right.
Yeah.
And would you
I'm trying to figure out if I'm a geek or a nerd. You know, I'm probably both.
Probably a nice
most
combo.
People are a little bit of, you got dork in there, which is more of social awkwardness.
I'm
all three for sure.
Yeah, I was going to say a dork's more like kind of like a derp, you know?
Yeah. A derp, I like it.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, I'm definitely but since you wrote about nerdity, we'll figure that you were a nerd in school.
I was definitely a nerd in school. I was the captain of my high school math team.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh!
Yeah,
really?
What was the math team called? Like Mathletes? Like you hear that all the time?
Yeah, we did refer to ourselves as Mathletes, although we were the math team. Yeah. We didn't have any clever names. We should have.
Yeah, you would think that there would be like a really
intellectual
clever name for that.
Yeah. I earned a varsity letter for being the statistician for the high school basketball team. Okay. Well, I mean, you get the idea.
Yeah, we get the idea.
Yeah, I love that. I know.
Did you come from an education background? I mean, were your parents
both of
educators?
My parents were public school teachers.
Oh, I see.
There you
okay.
go.
Yeah. So you see, it goes down with the genes.
How
you know?
Organized was your home?
Well, because my mother also, she taught elementary school for a lot of her teaching. And so people always comment on how I have good handwriting. And I was like, because I was taught how to write by a first grade teacher.
Yeah.
Totally. I have like doctor's handwriting where you're like that. I can't read any of that.
That was that's my dad's influence. He was a high school English teacher. Mm. He's why I'm a terrible speller. That's what I say.
Really?
We both are.
I love that.
But how can you be a terrible speller if you probably read a lot, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So how can you be a bad speller if you read a lot?
You know, I have no idea. It's like it's a blind spot.
Really? Yeah, it's like word recall.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I like to say it's a sign of genius. Although I've gotten much better since I started doing crossword puzzles a lot. That's how I learned to spell.
Oh, that's good.
Really?
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, I'm like, why doesn't this word fit? Oh, because I'm spelling it wrong.
Right.
That's why.
Whatever it takes, hey, crossword puzzles, anything, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I love that.
Know what irritates me is people that try to correct your grammar and they're wrong.
Yeah.
Like this morning.
You mean Twitter?
Or like on Facebook today.
Any social media platform ever.
This radio personality that I've friended on Facebook because we'd met before at a convention. She writes something like she was trying to correct a headline that appeared, in one of the newspapers or something. So it talked about Californian tourists, right, in Vegas. She's like, no, it's California tourists, not California. And I'm like, I don't think so. You know, California tourist is someone that comes to California, I think. Mm-hmm. Californian tourist is the people that come to Vegas from California.
Yes.
She's in Vegas, by the way. So she was correcting that. And I'm like, no, that's not the way it is. You know, just like when you say an American tourist, you don't say an America tourist, you know.
Right.
So So that irritates me.
I love your heat about this. It's so good. You're like, no.
Yeah, because I'm very meticulous about grammar. You know?
No, I love it.
Because I'll tell you why. Because we use it to communicate with each other. And if you make it difficult for me, then you're making me work hard to understand what you're saying, you know?
Yeah.
And especially with posting, you know, I mean, you have to really get used to the way people post because posts, I guess, are not supposed to be like grammatically correct. People just write them, right? Even though I and many people I know, we write like we'd write a book, you know, all the commas and all the periods and everything and capitalizing.
Right, yeah.
But many people don't. And you sit there and you go, what are you trying to say?
You just have to keep in mind that no matter what you write, whether it's spelled correctly or the punctuation wrong, there's always some internet troll that's just lurking behind their computer, just waiting for the moment to pounce on like any incorrect thing you said.
So why give them something?
Yeah, exactly.
Give them more.
They're
anyway.
Just like, it does. Yeah, it doesn't even matter. Like it could be perfectly written and someone will still be like, you. You're like, okay.
Well, that would be me, but I would be thinking that. I wouldn't be writing it to them.
Well, that's nice.
Appreciated.
I work as an editor freelance a lot and, you know, I love grammar. I'm really, you know, into the way that we can use language and I love punctuation and there's nothing sexier than a man who uses a semicolon correctly.
Oh my God, or there.
Right? But
I'll try to use semicolons more than if it's a sexy thing.
I've gotten to a point though where I've decided that I'm only gonna if I'm gonna bring it up or if I'm gonna knock somebody for it, especially as an editor, it's if it changes the meaning, like the example that you were talking about, that actually matters. The precision of the language. There's a reason why we say it this way.
Right. Exactly.
Totally,
you know.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if it's right or not, but I think less of people that can't express themselves correctly in writing. You know, I mean, that's the least you can do. You're an adult, you know?
Yeah, that's the least
periods,
you can do.
Put at least periods in your sentence. So I don't
love
you
that.
My mother told me a great story growing up about you never know when you're going to need these writing skills because she was talking about her students who always say, when am I going to need to use this in real life? Which is kind of was the origin of my book as well. But she witnessed a car accident once, and then she had to give a statement to the police, and they asked her to write it and, you know, to be able to clearly convey the events that she had seen in writing. And she thought, you know, this is why you need to be able to write an organized, clear statement or paragraph.
Yeah. Also just expression, you know?
Yeah.
So when you were in high school and you were, you know, nerding it up, how did you feel about it, you know, in terms of, like, high school social status kind of things? Like, how did that affect you, and how was your response to it?
I was lucky, for one, in that my particular class in high school had a lot of mix. We didn't have too many really terribly defined cliques. I mean, there were definitely groups, but I also, because I wasn't an athlete, I basically did everything else, and so I was that person who kind of peripherally knew everyone because I was in the band, but I was also the statistician for the basketball team, and I was on the school senate.
Active. That's how you get into Harvard, you see. You gotta be active.
Lots
you gotta
of extracurricular,
stand out,
yeah.
You know?
It's also how you justify not playing sports in a family of athletes. But I definitely, like, I look back and I noticed I was well aware early on that I was the girl people went to for help with their homework, not to ask on a date. Like that, it was definitely impactful to my life in that sense.
Right.
Yeah, that's interesting. So then you went to Harvard. What did you major in Harvard?
Well, fun fact, I started out as an applied math major because I wanted to be a cryptographer and work for the NSA.
Wow.
Amazing.
Yeah, but so you already knew what you wanted to do.
Oh, I thought I did. And then I spent a year doing problem sets and not writing or reading anything. And for a math class, I had to write a paper at the very end of the year. And I thought, oh, wow. I missed this. So I switched to be an English major, and I actually got my degree in English.
Wow.
Wow. What a switch.
So you started with math, you ended up with English.
Yeah, and I've never been able to decide which way to go with my life. And so, you know, I'm always kind of stuck between those worlds. And this book is, like, again, an example of kind of, it's like that, existing in that space between being a creative person, and I'm also a logic teacher.
Right.
Like, you know.
Wow. So
trying to bring it all together.
You teach logic.
I love logic.
So, and that's part of philosophy, right?
Well, I do have, it is a major part of philosophy, also math.
Right.
But I teach LSAT test prep for Kaplan, actually.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
So that's for the math part of the of the SAT?
No, it's for the law school entrance exam.
Oh, LSAT.
Yeah,
okay.
Or the law school admission
test. Right, right, right. Mm-hmm. So so you're teaching that for, is that part of the math portion then?
There isn't. The LSAT is entirely just logical reasoning. There's three different ways that they test it, but the whole test is just testing your logical reasoning skills. So I teach argument analysis and deductive reasoning and stuff like that.
Wow. You see, I love that stuff.
Yeah,
but it's for nerds.
Me too.
Yeah.
I think we're all nerds at heart. People just don't want to accept it.
We need to make it okay to be a nerd. We need to celebrate
our
nerd.
It's cool to be a nerd.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Right.
When did you get the idea for this book?
This book, it started as a blog. It was like a personal blog project because I was in between screenwriting projects. I didn't want to start anything big because I was waiting for something else to supposedly go.
Sure.
And I decided to just see if I could start writing little things. I had been keeping a journal, and so I had little essays that I collected just for myself.
Right.
And I thought, I'll start a blog since I don't want to start anything big. I'll do it once a week for as long as I can sustain it, which I did not think would be very long.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And then I went for 2 years.
Really?
So, that's awesome. Yeah. So this is kind of just like a compilation of all of that.
Yeah, I collected, the blog had a bunch of different things, and the title of the blog was Full Frontal Nerdity, but eventually I started really noticing that I had an affinity for writing these essays that would take academic subjects and combine them with more everyday life experiences, that right. kind of that mashup, hence the lessons in Loving and Living with Your Brain. So I thought I could probably just find all of those and put them together as a collection, and that's what this book ended up,
right.
a collection of most of those.
And so I was looking up and saw that actually, so it existed as a Kindle book first, and now you have the printed version, right?
Right, yes.
Yeah, because I see the date on this is actually January 20th, 2020, where it's going to be released. But the Kindle has been around since you already have reviews and everything on Amazon.
And it actually was, it was kind of published initially by a smaller boutique publishing company, and now it's being picked up by a larger label, Kaplan Publishing.
Very
and
nice.
And so it's going to end up, in physical form in the world.
Yeah.
Exciting.
I mean, what you guys can expect to read is Will You Be My Eggplant or Love, Damn Love, and Statistics. I Know Why the Cage Bird Creeps Me Out. And The Logarithm of Love. I love this stuff, man. So tell us a little bit about this. I mean, you also talk about dating and relationships and everything.
Yeah, so the book is divided into four sections.
Okay.
Dating, relationships in general, and then the last two are about life. One is about striving, and one is about coping. There's a lot of coping in Los Angeles.
Yeah, right.
We need it.
But it could work for anybody. And so each section, there are six or seven essays that take one academic subject and then connect it. So like Love, Damn Love, and Statistics that was actually one of my earlier essays that inspired the whole concept of this book. I was reading Nate Silver, 538 Guy's book, Signal in the Noise, which I loved. And of course, I'm reading this, all of his lessons in statistics and learning about statistics. And I'm sitting there thinking, I could apply this to my dating life. And so I decided to kind of take Bayesian reasoning that he was talking about. And I was like, what happens if we apply that into the dating world?
Right.
And
so how did you do that? How did you apply it to dating?
Oh, well, the idea was about, with Bayesian reasoning, it's kind of about evolving your assessment of things with each experience, but letting them all kind of pile on each other.
Okay.
Viewing things as a whole and as a progressive learning experience as you learn things about people, instead of what we frequently do as people, which is react to things as individual, isolated events.
Right.
And so, like, I can never know anything. I can only know what's happening right now and how I can react to what's now. And in terms of dating, that kind of gets into the idea of, if somebody says they're going to call you and then they don't call, does that mean, he's just nothing into you, or it's over,
right.
Or he must have been abducted by aliens or whatever,
What's the probability he just hates my guts?
But that's exactly it.
So it's like, died on the way home.
So it's applying probabilistic thinking to, if that only happens once, let's be reasonable and but on the other hand, if it happens five different times, we also don't want to be that person who's like, anything could have happened to him. It's like, no, he's done this to you five times now.
Mm-hmm. Right. So the proof is in the pudding.
Maybe we should be assessing what are the probability that this is not a great relationship.
Right.
Totally.
So that's pretty cool. And I guess you use humor in here and everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very cool. Now, what else do you have in the book? What else do you discuss other than relationships?
Oh, all kinds. The subject matter varies from like poetry to the history of the number pi. In the life coping, I talk about how when I'm feeling really kind of depressed or insecure, it's like, oh, you know, those mornings you wake up or those nights when you're trying to fall asleep and you're like, have I made every wrong choice in my life? Like, how am I get here?
That pang in the stomach.
Yeah. Move to LA and it gets worse, right?
Yeah.
Right. So I like to think about the many worlds theory, which either of you know anything about the many worlds theory?
Mm-hmm.
The idea of, it comes from quantum physics, but the idea that there are infinite parallel universes that spring every time you make a decision, it splits into another world. Yeah. So, you know, I think about that concept of every time I've made a decision or an action is taken, like, there's a universe where it happened and there's a universe where it didn't happen.
Right, and what's going on there.
Right, and I think, so then I just sit there and I say, well, what really, the odds that I am the worst version of myself are like, you know, they're minuscule. I can't even fathom it. Not even C-3PO could probably tell me what the odds are. So, you know. I should relax because somewhere out there is someone who has made way worse choices than me. Like, there's a worse version of me out there.
Right.
Totally. And they're probably not too far off.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, what am I stressed out about?
Right.
Yeah.
So now when you think about dating and stuff, you also want to know the person is pretty intellectually equal to you. So you can talk to them, you know, because, I mean, you're going to talk about this stuff to just run-of-the-mill person, to the average person.
Talking quantum
physics. They're like, God, she's a nerd, you know. Yeah. I can't keep up with that, you know.
Yeah, although I always say that in terms of intellectual connection, it's not so much about equal, necessarily intellectual level, but curiosity is what matters to me most.
Right, right.
Like, I don't care how educated a person is, but are they intellectually curious? The desire to learn.
Right.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. I actually talk in there a little bit about a philosophy that I kind of developed over the years of what a relationship needs, you know, the idea of having lists. Everybody has a list, but that's not great. So I say every good relationship needs pi, P-I-E, and the P stands for physical connection. And the I is intellectual stimulation. Like, you need to be able to talk to this person for the rest of your life.
Right, exactly.
And then the E is emotional support. And if you have those three things, a relationship is viable. If you don't, it doesn't matter how good they are on paper or how much, you know, how good that physical connection is. That's it's not going to work long term.
That's true. Yeah. So you need the brain and the body and the emotions to all be in alignment, I suppose, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. And that third one is, I think, the hardest one to find.
Yeah, exactly.
The adult conversation about your feelings.
Right.
Oh,
right.
My gosh.
I know. That's a tall order to find someone like that. You
right.
Know?
Where you don't just see a question mark on their face. Like,
Right. Or they don't run away. I mean, originally that trifecta was developed with a friend of mine who was dating somebody who basically just disappeared when her dad died.
Really?
I was like, that's not cool.
That's so not cool.
He was, you know, up until then, we were like, he's perfect on paper, you know.
Yeah.
But nope.
But why would he disappear if the dad died?
Sometimes people couldn't handle it emotionally. Yeah,
they can't take that kind of pressure. Totally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I had a relationship
Wait a minute. Whose dad died?
Her dad died.
Oh, her dad died. Okay. Yeah. All right.
He just couldn't stay around for the sticky situation.
Yeah.
That sucks, man. I've definitely experienced that for sure.
Yeah.
Or people just like 86.
Yeah, it's like, when you realize that you've been in that relationship with this great person, but they're only great as long as you're great.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
They're happy as long as everything's shiny and sparkly.
Right.
Good.
And as soon as you're having a bad time, they're just like, I can't deal. I'm out. You're having feelings.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
get it together, people.
Did you ever experience that? Like going out with someone and they feel that you're intellectually superior to them and then they lose maybe their confidence or something, or like being around you. Have you noticed that at all?
Definitely. I think
people get intimidated probably.
And there's a phenomenon that that they talk about. Recent studies have kind of backed this up, that the idea of an intelligent woman is incredibly appealing to men anyway, to straight men, until they meet one, until they're in a relationship with
really?
One.
Really?
Yeah, it goes for funny ones, too.
Exactly. It's the same thing. It's like...
And really?
So many,
oh, yeah.
I'm sure you've experienced this, guys who say, I want a girl with a sense of humor. And what they mean by that is I want her to think I'm funny.
Oh, yeah. They totally do. They get quiet and weird, especially in social situations when you're like kind of telling jokes and like having great conversation. And for me personally, I'm really easygoing with people. It's easy for me to talk to people. And I notice that a lot of times if I ever bring a guy that I'm seeing out with me, they almost kind of back down and like almost like huddle back into a corner, don't talk much. They become really introverted and weird and awkward. And I'm like, the hell was that?
Yeah, I know. I know. Because sometimes people that are introverted are attracted to people that are more like happening and outgoing and stuff like
that.
Yeah,
it's definitely me. Yeah.
Right. But then it comes back later and they hate it. They hate you
right,
for it.
Right, because you're really being the way that they wish so, they were.
Right, yeah. You know. So
sorry.
That's, yeah.
Isn't sorry, we're so cool. Isn't that the whole first season of The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel?
Pretty much, right? Pretty much. Yeah. He's super intimidated by her and her amazingness. And,
is that a pretty good show? I'm thinking of starting to watch it.
Yes. Totally. I have to catch up. I'm not through it, but it's
what
great.
What is it that I was reading? That the heroine is Jewish or something? Mm-hmm. Or so what is the story about? What's the
Joan Rivers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, was it really inspired by Joan Rivers?
Yeah, she's fantastic. Supposedly her.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
Totally.
Oh, so she's a funny lady.
Yeah, it's like the story of her coming up in the business.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Very interesting.
Totally. I didn't know it. I just know that I love Amy Sherman Palladino's writing. So
yeah. Totally.
So this is based on a book or something or what?
No.
You're just talking about the writing
right.
of the
well,
show.
The creator of the show, she also right. created Gilmore Girls.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And she's just fantastic as a writer.
Wow.
Now, all of her shows are so fast talking, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Although my screenwriting style is very similar to that. I've had people say it's like Amy Sherman Palladino and Aaron Sorkin had it like met and had a child.
Oh,
and
my
I was
God.
Like, yeah.
The intensity.
A lot of text.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Well, so true to your nerdity, you went to see Star Wars last night.
Oh, yes.
Right? You didn't wait. You went on first night.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you have a favorite Star Wars movie?
Oh, a favorite Star Wars movie.
Yeah. I mean, do you remember them all? Or?
You know, I mean, of course, the ones from my childhood
the original,
are the ones
right.
that I would love.
Which they call 4, 5, and 6,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, 4, 5, and 6, yeah. I mean, right. Carrie Fisher has been my personal hero basically my entire life.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. So,
from the Princess Leia appearance?
Yes, absolutely. Oh. Yeah. I think if push came to shove, I would have to say that A New Hope, the original, the first one, is still my favorite.
I know.
Yeah, the
too.
First one was good.
Yeah. I think usually the first one is the best because you don't know what to expect and it introduces something new to you. And that's what gets you turned on for the whole series, you know?
Yeah.
And the same case is like with The Matrix. Like, The Matrix is my favorite film of all times. And the two sequels I felt sucked big time, you know? Yeah. But the first one with the idea of all that and stuff, like, remains, like, the best for me, you know?
Yeah. I think I was, like, in sixth grade when that movie came out. I just remember being, like, blown away.
Yes.
Yeah. You know? I was like,
did
what?
You see it?
Yeah.
Back
then? Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't even see it when it first came out. I thought, it just looked too science fiction to me.
Yeah.
But then when I finally watched it, because everybody was talking about it, but I still watched it a year later or something.
So have you never had the chance to see it on a big screen?
I don't think I have.
It's incredible.
I hope you do someday.
Well,
I
do a big screen
in the park
at home
something.
Now. I mean, I have a 75-inch TV now, so.
All right.
That's pretty big.
That's pretty good.
Right?
But yeah, I can remember that experience of being in the middle of the movie theater when that movie came out and just the communal experience of all of us sitting there going, I have never seen anything like this.
Right.
Everyone's
like,
this has changed what movies can do.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Neo.
Yeah. Both the visuals and the idea of, you know, everything in there, you know.
I mean, and now people say all the time, like, references to the red pill or the blue pill.
Yeah.
Right.
You know,
for better and for worse.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's part of why I went to see Star Wars last night, because I love being in the theater and having people, like, applaud when they see, you know, when they see Carrie Fisher, and it's like, you know.
Yeah. I know. The only thing I don't like seeing in theaters are horror movies, because there's always people screaming in the theater or like yelling or like, I'm like, just relax.
And you don't like that.
Yeah, totally.
No, I wanted to ask you, so how did you feel about the movie? Was it good, bad, somewhere in between the one you watched last night?
I enjoyed it. It definitely had some moments that I absolutely loved. Mm. As an action movie, by the way, it's also fantastic. Like, I thought that right. there was some really fantastic Jedi fighting going on and some flying. Like, you're just going to love those yeah. bits. I am also someone who I loved The Last Jedi.
Uh-huh.
I love Rian Johnson's writing uh-huh. And his filmmaking, and I like him more than I like J.J. Abrams' filmmaking.
Oh,
but,
wow.
But I'm not, you know, I would say I felt while I was sitting there, I actually had the thought while I was sitting there, I was like, I don't feel like I'm seeing the end of my childhood.
Right.
I feel like I'm sitting here watching a really good movie.
Oh, okay.
Which is, that's a great experience to have. And I'm also,
sure.
I'm sitting here with a bunch of people who also have a shared love of the things that I love.
Right.
There's definitely a lot of fan service in it, for better right. or for worse, no matter how you know, however you may feel about that, you're going to experience it.
Right.
I'm a big fan, though, so I don't mind. Yeah. Were people dressed up? yes, people were dressed up. I actually yeah. was wearing a Star Wars Christmas sweater.
Amazing.
R2-D2 in a Santa hat. And then I have crocheted myself a Baby Yoda for you Mandalorian fans. And he was sitting on my shoulder watching the movie with me.
I think Baby Yoda is Whoa. So cute.
Yeah. Yeah.
I, like, wish they would, like, breed them and I would adopt one.
Right. This is, like, the new Gremlin. Because when Gremlins yeah. came out and everybody wanted a little
and
fuzzy.
It, look,
right.
it looks like Gremlins,
so
too.
So cute. Only Baby Yoda doesn't turn into a monster when you get him wet or feed him right, at midnight.
Right. My gosh, right?
Yeah. He just turns into a funny creature later on.
Exactly.
Gremlins was a crazy movie, too. I just remember, like, seeing that, like, what is going on?
I know. Yet? I thought it was a joke. I mean, you know.
I was terrified. Yeah.
Right?
It terrified me.
I mean.
Do you remember when they came out with Furbies?
Oh, I'm still scared of Furbies.
I saw one the other day. I remember sleeping at my friend's house in, like, 10th grade, and her Furby just started talking in the middle of the night on its own in the dark. Wow. Just woke right up.
Oh, that's yeah. creepy. That's yeah, like, but like, nothing's worse than Teddy Ruxpin.
Yeah,
what's that?
Oh, that talking bear from, I guess, the 80s.
Oh, I know what you're talking
90s.
About.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We had this, like, talking doll, and she, like, stood up and danced, too, and my brother poked one of her eyes out. So as long as I've been alive, she's only had, like, one eye and just, like, an eye hole.
That's great. That's great.
And so she'd be standing up, and the one eye would just be, like, flicking nervously. I'm like, okay.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
There's a horror movie.
Uh-huh. For sure.
Definitely.
Yeah. So, well, cool. So I'm looking forward to seeing it. I actually, talking about The Last Jedi, I was just reading how people were disappointed in it because, you know, Luke Skywalker decided, like, he was depressed the whole time. He decided he's not going to fight evil anymore and all that stuff. So people were bummed out and all that. But
yeah, but again, how do you feel about a movie that gives you everything that you were expecting and wanted, too?
Right.
Like, to me, that's also not fun. You could have written yeah. that movie. You know, great.
Right.
Totally.
You know, I love the idea. Also, to me, the entire character definition of Luke Skywalker is that he messes up.
Right.
Like, he makes that's bad true. Choices and then eventually comes out in the right place
right.
by having made mistakes and learning, which I think is a great...
It's encouraging.
It's, right. It is encouraging, right? Failure is the greatest master of them all. And
right.
that's what I tell my students all the time. Like, make mistakes. That's how you get better. I love Luke for that.
Right.
That he's,
and yeah, not only that,
yeah.
but he's real, you know? I mean,
yeah.
he's like a you know, an ordinary person that would maybe sometimes just be jaded by everything and just say, the
sure.
hell with it, you
right.
know?
And in this day and age, the story of somebody who... basically went had one attempt fail and therefore thinks the solution to that is the exact extreme opposite,
right.
which is also wrong, but to have you know, to have somebody's reaction be extremism or polarization and then have that person learn that actually somewhere in the middle is the answer, is the right way to go.
Right.
It's not perfect, but it's the best. Like, I think that's relevant to our day.
Right.
Yeah.
So the story with Carrie Fisher is, what is it? She shot everything before she died?
My understanding is they used footage from filming from the previous movies.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that they had a lot of
probably some CGI
scenes.
And stuff, too. I mean, to
yeah.
make...
I'll be honest, I didn't want to look too closely because I didn't want it to feel fake and it breaks my heart a
right.
little bit.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah,
that's true.
Totally.
That's
better
true.
Not to know.
But
yeah.
it's amazing how they do that with movies and stuff, you know.
Yeah,
the technology.
Wow,
imagine
cool.
what it's going to be in like 10 years.
Yeah.
It's terrifying because I feel like with people thinking they can write movies with algorithms and bringing back actors with CGI, mm-hmm. neither one of us will have a career.
It's true.
Right.
It's so true. Please don't do that.
Well, we're just about out of time, Kate. Kate was, well, the book is Full Frontal Nerdity.
Yes.
And you go by K.S. Wiswell. How is, why is that? I mean,
it started in part. It's a combination of a lot of my favorite writers use initials like J.R.R. Tolkien,
right,
and J.K. Rowling. But also, in this industry, it pays to have people read your work before they know you're a woman.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's you're reading sad. A woman's book.
Exactly.
That's sad, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but then, okay, so, but now since you guys know she's a woman, her name is Kate, and that's how we refer to her.
Yes.
Where can people find the book?
The book, you can find it on Amazon.
Okay.
And you can find it at Barnes & Noble in January.
Yeah.
And
I'm glad you made a hard copy of it. You know?
Yes.
Yeah, I know. I like physical books, you know?
Yes.
But most readers do, you know?
Yeah, me too. I mean, I have a Kindle, but I use it maybe 10% of the time.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Just the smell of a new book is so good.
Yeah.
You know?
And holding it, you know, and I like it when it's thin. I like it when it's thick. I like it when it's big. I like it when it's small.
Yeah.
When it's heavy, when it's light. I just love books, you know?
I also write by hand for that reason. I like to feel the ink. Like the notebook gets heavier as I write.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So I write everything by
hand
first.
Yeah, and you have nice handwriting, so according to you.
My mother trained me well, yes. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I'd be like, I wouldn't be able to figure it out. Like, how did I write?
Now, I wanted to ask you also, did you go on for a master's degree after Harvard?
I didn't. I'm actually the only member of my family who doesn't have an advanced degree in anything.
Uh-huh.
I went to work because I had to pay off college.
Right.
I was going to go to law school. I got into law school and then decided not to go. So now I help other people get into law school.
Oh, wow.
But amazing. Then,
yeah. I became a writer and a teacher instead.
Right.
Maybe someday, though. It's never something that I discount.
Right.
And it's never too late.
Exactly.
But you grew up in a family with teachers. I can see where the appeal would be for you to be a teacher as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, where you enjoy, you know, imparting everything that you learned to kids. In this case, it's not really kids. It's college students.
I say it's a great book for people who are trying to figure out adulting at any age.
Right.
So from college to 90. You know,
right. Yeah.
But yeah, I like to teach also through like through analogies, which is why I do that a lot in this book. The idea of taking this you can learn about quantum theory by looking at it through this analogy of dating.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
which is cool. You know, I mean, there you go. You know, you have something to talk about on your dates. You know,
quantum physics for dummies.
As I see their eyes just glaze over, as I'm like, no, but bear me out. The Heisenberg uncertainty principle. Here's what it is.
They're like, so are you hungry?
Wow. So everybody look for Full Frontal Nerdity. And it is K.S. Wiswell. Because if you look for Kate, you may not find it. But actually, by Wiswell, it'll suggest it.
Yes, and do hyphenate the full frontal because that is grammatically correct.
Okay, so we'll,
there you
we'll
go.
Do that.
That one's for
lesson
you.
For you all.
Exactly. I did that just for Sam.
Right, there you go. Well, thank you so much for joining us. You're a lot of fun. How can people find you on social media or anything if they want to?
I am on Twitter and Instagram. I am at @FFrontalNerd.
Okay.
And I am also, if you, FullFrontalNerdity.com with the hyphen full frontal is my website.
Okay, cool.
Awesome.
Well, congratulations to you.
Thank you.
With the book and everything. And it's like a baby, right, when the book's finally
out.
It
is,
yeah. Yeah. Very good. So everybody go out and get the book. It's a lot of fun. I'm going to read it. Thank you for bringing us a copy.
Yes, thank you.
And thank you so much for having me here.
Christmas came early.
Of course, yes.
Or Hanukkah, whatever it is you're into.
Exactly. Happy holidays to you.
Yes. Happy solstice.
Oh, that's right.
Happy what?
Solstice.
Oh, yeah, that's right. When is that, tomorrow?
I think it's Sunday this year.
Sunday the 22nd?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. What about us? Are we going to come next week? I don't know if we'll be here Monday or and Tuesday. We might. Let us decide on that over
not?
The weekend.
And then we'll just do Christmas off.
Yeah, or something. Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, we can talk.
All right,
we
well, talk. Have a great week. Yeah.
All right.
Talk.
We can talk about it later.
Yeah, there you go. All right, have a great weekend, everyone.
All
we'll
right,
see
take
you
care.
On Monday.
Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.